It's been a little over 3 weeks since severe acute respiratory syndrome burst through the war news and captured public attention. The disease has affected relatively few Americans so far. 13 new suspected cases were reported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention today, bringing the total to 85 cases. But the disease has spread more rapidly in other places, and many Americans are still curious about how the disease works and what precautions, if any, they should be taking. Joining us now to discuss SARS is NPR health correspondent Richard Knox. Richard, there's some confusion in people's minds over how SARS might be different from the flu or even a bad cold. Are there specific symptoms that distinguish SARS?
Well, that's one of the big problems. The symptoms are really very unspecific, which is why the first cases were not appreciated as something new and different in many cases, and that's a risk for the future as well. The symptoms are basically like the flu. They start anywhere from 2 days to 10 days after someone gets exposure to the SARS microbe, whatever it is, which is pretty short as incubation periods go. And the most common symptoms are a fairly high fever, 100.4, 100.5 Fahrenheit fever, muscle aches and pains like the flu, severe fatigue, a dry cough, and many people have shortness of breath.
We've seen pictures from various parts of the world where people have taken to wearing masks. Are these at all effective in preventing the spread of this disease?
Yes, apparently they're pretty effective. I mean, one of the reasons for doing that, or the reason for doing it, is that most of the cases seem to have been spread through a transmission of droplets that are coughed or sneezed or exhaled that contain the presumed SARS virus. And so masks can prevent that from happening. And that may be one reason why the U.S. hasn't seen more spread from patients to healthcare workers, because masks have been pretty widely adopted in cases where someone has suspected SARS. Also, it seems the masks and gowns and gloves and other precautions like that have seemed to have spread, to halt the spread in Hanoi hospitals recently. In Hong Kong, where, as we've seen from many pictures, the general population is taking to wearing masks, that may be one reason why the cases, the new cases, were something like 26 today, 23 the day before, but that's not good. It's just that it's much better than 155 on Tuesday.
For many diseases, certain populations are at higher risk. Do we know whether there are certain categories of people who might need to be more concerned than others with SARS?
SARS, well, probably so, is the short answer. SARS has affected infants to elders. The average age in the Canadian patients is only 46 years. But there is some indication that people who have severe illness or death from SARS have either other illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, that puts them at higher risk, or they're older than age 55. Smoking may be a risk factor. There may be a genetic element, but that's not sure. Most people who are likely to get SARS are those with really close contact with somebody who was really sick with it, who was shedding a lot of the virus.
Richard, is there any treatment at this point?
No. There have been some antiviral drugs that have been tried in cases. I was talking to one infectious disease person today from Canada who's treated a number of these cases. He doesn't think that the antiviral drugs by themselves did any good. He thinks maybe them in combination with corticosteroids may have, but I think that's one of the big unanswered questions.
And just quickly, there's talk in scientific circles about super spreaders. Can you quickly tell us what that might mean?
Obviously, some people are much more likely to infect others than other people are, and that's one of the big causes for speculation. Some think that there may be something about those patients. Some people think that it may just be an accident of timing, that they were shedding the maximum amount of virus at the very time that they came in contact with others.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
NPR's Richard Knox.